Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Joshua chapter 1. We'll not preach out of chapter 1. It'll be chapter 3. But let's turn there to Joshua chapter 1. This is a series of messages out of the book of Joshua. Just started last Sunday morning in preparation for the fall. We've got so many activities, so many big things going to happen this fall. And we just have to prepare. So these are messages of preparation. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you and help you along the way. We had four people saved last Sunday morning in the services, and I rejoice in that because that doesn't always happen. We see people born again here regularly, but it's always good when there's multiple people born again, and we rejoice. I know heaven rejoices over that as well. Life is full of battles. Life is full of victories and defeats, and we know who wins the war. We know what that's all about, and sometimes you got to square off with the enemy, and you meet him eyeball to eyeball. I'll tell you a little quick story about Ralphie, the cowardly dog, the dog that lives in our house. Listen, if you're looking for a watchdog, and I know there are people here that sell them, do not buy a English cream, no, English, is it called cream retriever? Is that what it is? It's an English cream golden retriever. I'm telling you, this guy is the most cowardly dog that ever lived. Our personalities don't mesh. He's one of those touchy-feeling, I love you kind of guy. He's got to be touching you all the time. I don't like people like that. I certainly don't want a dog like that around me. And just guy always touching me, and he's scared of his own shadow. I can walk up behind him, yell, boo, and all 4 feet will come off the ground. That's just the way he is. He's a big dog. I'm sitting in my easy chair. Look out. There's my wife's bird feeder, and there's a big-bodied gray squirrel in the bird feeder. And from behind, I actually thought, what is that thing? And then when he turned, he said, oh, that's a squirrel. So I go out, come on, Ralphie, come on. And we went out to the garage, we snuck through the garage, door's open, I come out. I got about from here to Ray, away from this big, burly, gray squirrel. Looked like he lifts weights, a big squirrel. And he squared off with us. He didn't move. He looked, he's like he just squared off, and our eyes met. And I said, Ralphie, get him, boy, get him. And as soon as their eyes met, Ralphie turned tail and ran in the garage. He's the most useless watchdog there ever was. I hope there's no bad guys listening to this broadcast right now. All right, because Ralphie, he's not going to do anything. A lot of Christians are that way as well. There's more in the Christian life than facing big, muscular, world-class gray squirrels. There's some real battles in life. And too many times as Christians, we tuck our tail and run. We don't understand what we are in Jesus Christ. The Hebrew children, they were beginning to understand as we study through the book of Joshua. Let me give you just a little paraphrase, a little summary of last Sunday morning. Good to hear this because it'll help you remember. Last Sunday morning, I preached on how to come out of the wilderness. Remember, there were 430 years in the land of Egypt, 400 years of slavery, 30 years under Joseph, and then they were miraculously taken through the Red Sea, and they end up in the wilderness, and God wants them to go into the land of Canaan, but they don't have faith. They see giants in the land. They see walled cities. They figure, man, we got out of Egypt. That's good enough. You know how many Christians, I got born again. That's good enough. You are so wrong. You are wrong. Let's stand together. Let me read the first three verses. Last week's message was recognize the promises of God. Know the book. Number two, believe the book. Number three, stay together. And number four, make room, like for people like Rahab. Make room for others in the family of God. Don't limit the power of God. It says in verse one, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this morning. And Jesus, it is our prayer, it is my prayer, God, that you would speak to my heart and the heart of everyone here. Meet every need. There are people here at every level of walk with you, and there are probably people here, no doubt people watching live stream or listening to the radio broadcast, and they've never really been born again. May they understand the new birth is a necessity. That it's a gotta be in order to go to God's heaven. It's just the first step, but it's complete salvation and it guarantees heaven. God, I pray that you would make everyone here very aware of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Joshua 1, hold your hand here and turn over to Joshua and chapter 24. Joshua and chapter 24. In the world, I've got to find it myself. Joshua chapter 24, verse 13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and of vineyards and of olive yards which ye have planted not do ye eat. Here's the picture. I'll give you the picture, the spiritual truth, the big spiritual truth, and then I want to give you some things that's going to help you in your life, all right? This morning, I want to help you prepare for taking another step for God. For Fundamental Baptist Church, I want us to prepare to advance the cause of Christ. Here is the big picture. The Hebrews are in the land of Egypt. They're in slavery, chains of sin, if you will. God sends a deliverer. His name is Moses, prepared by God. He is a picture of Jesus Christ, and he delivers them out of their slavery in Egypt in a miraculous way. Not only did they march out of the city with gold and silver from the land of Egypt that they did not earn, it was not theirs, it was given to them as a gift. God will meet our every need. Not only that, but they get to the Red Sea. Now they're between a rock and a hard place, and Pharaoh's army are marching down on him. He's going to kill every one of them. There's going to be a slaughter. Moses stands at the brink of the Red Sea and says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And they cross over the Red Sea, and that, my friend, is a picture of being born again. That is deliverance, is what that is. It's an Old Testament picture of the born again experience, and they walk over on dry ground. And I'll remind you of this, it's a big truth. They did nothing but believe. God did it all. They walked over on dry ground. They get over to the other side. Pharaoh's armies, they drown. They're all done. They get over to the other side. They send 12 spies into the land of Canaan. This is the promised land. This is across the River Jordan. That's where God wants them to live. He's got houses waiting for them. He's got fortress cities waiting for them. He's got vineyards waiting for them. That's a pretty good life. And they're going to have a little faith to get it. And they send in the 12 spies. You know the story. The 12 spies come back. 2 of them have a good report. 10 have an evil report. They all have a lack of faith. So they wander in the wilderness until that generation is dead and gone. Now God has raised up Joshua. He's going to be the new leader. And it's a brand new generation. Everybody from 20 years on up, they were buried in the wilderness. They were still Hebrews. They were still born again. They crossed the Red Sea, but they never got to the land of Canaan. Jesus said, "I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundant." Don't misread anything I'm saying. I am not telling anybody here that if you get born again, you will never have another problem. I'm not telling anybody here that God wants everybody to be millionaires. That is so far from the truth. So far from the truth. This is not a health and wealth and peace and prosperity doctrine. This is the message of grace, the Red Sea. And then he says, "Now listen, I've given you life. There's the land of promise." That is a picture of the abundant life, abundant, overflowing, overwhelming. God just blessed, a place of blessing, a place of peace, a place of rest. That we have a rest in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, "That's what I intend for you. But if you don't have faith to cross the River Jordan, then you stay in the wilderness. When you die, you're going to heaven, but you stay in the wilderness. You did cross the Red Sea, but you haven't crossed the River Jordan." All right, so the picture is this. The high priest, we're going to read it. They come to the brink of the River Jordan, and they take a step into the water. This time, Israel is required to do something. Faith. They step in the water, and the waters from below, they pass on by, and these waters stack up in a heap. Some estimate, based on the flow of the River Jordan, 150 feet high is how high it got. Just on one side, this water's gone, all right? And it took a little faith. It wasn't until they step into the water. That's a picture of taking another step for God and getting yourself in the place where you can cross over into the land of Canaan. I already told you, there's battles there. There's fortress cities there, but it's the land of promise. It's not heaven. That's where God wants us to live spiritually. Oh, it's a big deal. And there's so many that all they've done is gotten a fire insurance policy. They got born again and that was it. Praise God for people that get saved. Amen. People that got saved last Sunday morning, there's some of them here this morning. God bless you. Man, I'm glad for you. And if you're here and you're not born again, if there's never been a time or a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and all it is a heart thing, it's not a religious thing, it's a heart thing where you call upon God asking Him to be the Savior, your Savior, I'll give you an opportunity at the end of the service. If you know how to do it right now. I'll give you an opportunity at the end of the service and you make sure you're born again. After salvation, you cross the River Jordan, you enter into the land of Canaan, there are battles to fight. That's real life. That's where we're at. These are the perilous times that Paul spoke of. We fight these battles and we fight for the glory of God. And as long as we're in the center of God's will, we're invincible. The Hebrews never lost until there was sin in the camp. And we can take care of that by going to Jesus. Real simple. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua. Just page over a page. And let me see if I miss anything here. I want to cover. Not necessarily. Okay. All right. Let's go to chapter 3. Last Sunday morning, if you were to summarize the message, it would be this. This will help you remember it. Come out of the fog and follow God. Life is not to be fuzzy. It's not to be nebulous. It's not to be a religious pie in the sky that's just out of reach all of the time. Just the opposite. There needs to be a new birth. There needs to be a definite time where you're born into the family of God. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So there's got to be a time when you're born again. And then life is real life after being born again. There are certain things that I know is the will of God for everybody in the family of God. Number one, to get in the family of God. God's not willing that any should perish. So God wants everybody saved. I know that. God wants all the saved to follow Him in the waters of baptism. That's not salvation. That's just identifying with Jesus Christ. It's the first step of obedience. If you never get baptized and you got born again, you're still going to heaven. But an obedient, born again believer is going to get baptized. Believer's baptism, as taught in the Word of God. And it's the same all the time. Immersion, all the time. Adults, all the time. People that know what they're doing. All right, so you get born again, that's God's will. You get baptized, that's God's will. You join a New Testament local church, that's God's will. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to gather together for the sake of the Great Commission. We're to gather together so we can encourage one another and excite one another. Hebrews in chapter 10, we're to gather together to observe the Lord's table. We're to gather together to baptize believers. You see, you can't do any of that in your backyard. You're not supporting missionaries in your backyard. You can be overly pious, and maybe you've got some kind of false theology all figured out. Will you leave the local church out? I'm telling you, you're out of the will of God. So God's will, get saved, get baptized. You'll be part of a local church where you're there and you're growing and you're helping brethren and you're fulfilling the Great Commission in your Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. And you stay faithful. Man, prayer, there's a lot of things that can, prayer, that's important. By the way, we have a prayer call, a prayer alert that goes out. If you're not on that, what I do at 9 o'clock every Sunday, every morning except Sunday, send out a little quick devotional, a little Bible reading and the prayer alert for the day, things that we can all pray for. That way it's corporate prayer. We're all together and we can be praying for one another. It kind of keeps everybody together and up to speed. New Testament local church, that's real important. Okay, now Joshua in chapter 3. I said all of that. I'm done with my introduction. Okay, this is going to be real fast here this morning. It has to be in order for the radio to work. Joshua rose early in the morning and they removed unto Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. The River Jordan, it's at flood stage, tells us that in the text. The River Jordan at flood stage across from Jericho is 10,000 feet wide. That's almost 2 miles wide. It's 200 feet deep. This is a raging river. The only way the people of God are going to get to the land of Canaan, cross that River Jordan, is God. That's it. God. And everybody in the land of Canaan is going to hear God is with the Hebrews. It takes a little bit of faith to cross the River Jordan into the land of Canaan. It takes a little bit of faith to live for God. I want to challenge you. I shared this in Sunday school this morning. It's just illustrative. I don't know that God was other than teaching me. Don't limit God in your life. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's going to take some faith for the high priest, for the priests, the Levites, to step into the water, then it dries up just that quick. It takes a little bit of faith. At the Red Sea, they did nothing. They watched. Jesus did all the work at Calvary. Jesus went to the cross alone. It was the Son of God that shed his blood, made propitiation for our sin. It was the Son of God that went to the grave and rose again on the third day. He didn't need anybody's help for that. He's God the Son, and only he was capable of that. And praise God, he did it. The Hebrews were delivered out of the land of Egypt. Now they're in the wilderness. They can cross the River Jordan and take the land that has been promised to them. God said, every place the sole of your feet shall tread, it's yours. I prepared it for you. Other men and women built it. It's yours. You're my people. Israel, amazing. At this point, between 2.5 and 3 million Hebrews. Singularly chosen by God, delivered by God, blessed by God, sustained by God. They were the center of God's attention. Fast forward to the New Testament church, chosen by God, delivered by God, blessed by God, sustained by God. We are the center of God's attention. You understand what a privilege it is to be a member of the family of God. Do you understand that God has great things planned for you and your life if you'll just stop limiting him? I woke up in the middle of the night. Last thing I did that night was talk to my Lord. I fell asleep. And like I said in Sunday school, it's a lot better to fall asleep talking to the Lord than the last thing you do falling asleep is hearing the voice of Sean Hannity. It's just a lot better. All right, so I spent some time in prayer. I fell asleep. I wake up in the middle of the night, and there's a strange uneasiness about me. I actually thought something was wrong in the house, and I kind of sat up. What's going on? House on fire, somebody here. And it was like God was, got no continued revelation. Don't think pastor's gone wacko. I'm not saying that. But God just impressed upon me this truth. I don't have enough faith. I'm saved. I'm born again. I know what saving faith is. But am I limiting God? We put a lot of work in this auditorium. We're not done. You know, we were talking about kicking walls out and so forth. We're going to have to do that very soon. But I'm thinking, And we got to make sure things don't become a shrine, all right? You know, bless God, that's my pew. I've sat in that pew all my life. And if we were to limit God and what God can do to the four walls of this auditorium, we'll never reach the Eastern Upper Peninsula that way. We'll never be a church of 1,000 with just this little area right here, this auditorium. And it might be the largest auditorium in the area, but it's not big enough. And it just occurred to me, why couldn't this be Maplewood Baptist Academy? God put something in our hands and we built a brand new 700, 800 seat auditorium. Why not? I don't know that God's going to do that. I'm saying this and I want you to relate it to your life. I think God was just speaking to me is all he was doing. He was just kind of growing my faith. Don't limit God. Man, what does he want to accomplish in your life? What is it he wants to do in your life? This crossing the River Jordan was so big that when all of the Canaanite cities, they heard about it, their spirit left them. They were so afraid because the Hebrews, and they're following their God, and they're coming. They crossed the River Jordan. Verse 1, chapter 3. Joshua rose early in the morning. Verse 2, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. Get ready. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. So here's the deal. All of these people, all of these men of war, all of their families, they're all here waiting. And the message from God through Joshua is this. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, by the way, the Ark of the Covenant is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a piece of furniture. All it is a 2x2x4 foot piece of furniture. In it are the Ten Commandments, the tablets, Aaron's rod that budded, and manna. And on top of it is the mercy seat. And there Shekinah glory dwells. That's the presence of God. That's the way it operated in the Hebrew economy at that time in the Old Testament. And he said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant go by, you follow. When God leads, we follow. But he said, don't get in the way. This is important. So there's a lot of people. They're going to go after it. They're going to follow. The Ark is going to be out front. This is too many for Joshua to lead. He needs God. The river's too wide. It's too deep. It's at flood stage. It's a raging river. The people of Jericho and the other cities, they felt they were safe. This is too big. They needed God. Verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits or 3,000 feet by measure. Come not near unto it. That's over a half a mile. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And I would tell you, we have not lived Monday yet. We have not lived this afternoon yet. We have not passed this way heretofore. We've still got life in our being. We've got life in front of us. We've got to take some advancing steps. We take some steps, and we need to advance for the cause of Christ. Here's who we do. Here's what we do. We follow our Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, what's that space between the Ark of the Covenant and the people of God? He wanted everybody to see it. He wanted everybody to know, there's the Ark. There's the Ark. And nobody was going to cut off the angle wherever it was they went. You know, they were going to follow the ark of God. Very, very important. And the reason is we need the God of tomorrow, who is the God of today. His name is Jesus Christ. And we follow him step by step. Don't get in front of him. Let him lead in your life. And Joshua, verse 5, said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Going to perform a miracle. The whole world is going to know it. Remember what Rahab said. The men are afraid of the Hebrews. We have heard what God, your God, has done for you in crossing the river Jordan. Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. God tells Joshua, Joshua, I'm going to exalt you in leadership just like I did Moses. You make sure you follow me. Verse 8 says, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. I mean, this is big stuff. So they're crossing the river Jordan. They're crossing over on dry land. They encamp on the other side of Jordan. Take your Bibles and skip ahead to Joshua and chapter 5 and verse 12. It's a good thing this is a series of messages because I'm only on the first point, and I'm going to leave it with just the first point this morning. We're just going that far. But I'm telling you, come out of the fog and follow God. There is reality to the new birth. There is reality to a life that is lived for God and blessed of God. There's a reality to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But understand this, and I'll not preach this next point. This will kind of introduce next week. God told Joshua to tell the people, prepare yourself. Get ready. I'm going to do some mighty things in your presence. Oh, I pray that happens at Fundamental Baptist Church. And I pray it happens all fall long and into the winter and into next year and however much time God gives us here on this earth. I pray it happens and it's so big and so over the top that all the unsaved people around us, every bar owner and every God denier and every person that's wicked and every person that's searching will say, God's at work over there. It's God that is doing that. There's no other reason for it. So here's Joshua. I alluded to this last week. I want to end with it this morning. I'll just end with it. Joshua, the leader of the Hebrews. It's the middle of the night and he's a little restless. And he gets up, gets away from the camp just a little bit. Probably the River Jordan's right there. Actually, they've already crossed over the River Jordan. And he sees the land of the city of Jericho. And it's a fortress city. It's a great city. And they're a wandering people. Word Hebrews means wanderer, just like their father Abraham. And probably some uneasiness. Man, how's this going to happen? He's a warrior. You know, he learns from the best. And he knows what strategy is. Verse 12 says, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. They got to prepare. They're going to take another step. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries. Joshua looks up, and there's a man. He's got a sword in his hand. And he says, are you for us or for our enemies? Interesting, his answer. He says, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? In other words, I'm above that. I'm the captain of the Lord's hosts. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now this is a Christophany. This is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. He's the captain of the Lord's hosts. Joshua was getting ready to do a great work for God. And Joshua and Jesus comes to this earth in a pre-existent Christophany. He comes, a Christophany. He comes and stands before the man that he has called to do the work with his sword in his hand. And Joshua said, man, you for us or for the enemy? And he said, I'm the captain of the Lord's hosts. And Joshua fell on his face and he worshiped. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have thy servant to do? Verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. He said, take your shoes off. You're in the presence of a holy God. If Jesus were here today, in his holiness, we would all have our nose to the floor. Don't ever forget he's a holy God. Don't try to make him out to be some kind of 1960s person or some preacher from the 90s or some just a military leader or leader of a nation. Oh, you so underestimate God. And yet he loves us. That's the miracle of miracles. I did say this last week. I understand why a righteous God loves righteousness. I don't understand why he loves me. Why he loves you. But God's going to do a great work with the children of Israel. They're going to take another step. And God says, all I require of you is you honor me. Take your shoes off. And Joshua, no hesitation. Now, that's a funny place to stop the message. I had no intention of stopping it right here, but let me just say this. God wants you to do something more. To take another step. For some, it's just being faithful. And that faithfulness is going to grow to something huge. For others, maybe you've already taken some steps in the wrong direction and you need to turn back to God. God has a perfect will for your life, and it's not to live in the wilderness and die in the wilderness. When you get to the end of your life, what will you have accomplished for God? God wants you to cross over. There's a lot of raging rivers in all of our lives. And it's standing between you and the promised land. He wants you to cross over. He'll part the water. He'll part it. You just show a little faith. And you take a step in the right direction. And he does the rest. That's how good our God is. What's God going to do this fall in your life? How many people are you going to reach for Christ? We've got Friend Day 800 coming up. We already got the cards printed up. I'm going to start handing them out next Sunday. And starting next Sunday, it'll only be 4 weeks away. That's amazing. There are people right now outside the walls of this church that are hungry for the truth and they don't know. They've never heard. I could share a heartbreaking story with you. I'm not going to do it right now. I don't have time to share it. But there are people that are searching. They want to know the truth. We need people to come to the altar this morning and pray for people that have never heard the gospel. We need people to come to the altar this morning and pray for people that have heard the gospel, but they don't understand it. Nobody has ever explained it. That's a lot of people. And we need people to come to the altar this morning and pray for people that have heard the gospel and they've rejected it. And that God would give them one more chance. Eternity is so big. And there's so many people waiting. This morning, would you surrender to God? Would you do what God would have you to do?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.